Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
From the Land De Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the second day of January 2014. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's a TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Dan Zwicker is away this afternoon. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear all about the really cold weather that's coming our way tonight. And again, on Sunday and Monday evenings, it'll be even colder then. Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, will be along. And today we'll also hear from Daryl Good and Lisa Braltz during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the Farm Bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group on this Thursday afternoon. The nearby March wheat at $5.97, a settlement price down 8.25 cents. July at 6.08 and a quarter, down 8.5. The hard red finished the nearby March at 6.25 and a quarter, down a dime. That for the spring, rather. And the hard red July at 6.34 and three quarters, down 8 and three quarters. March corn at 4.20 and a half, a penny and a half lower. The May at 4.29, down 1 and a quarter a bushel. And July corn at 4.35 and three quarters, down 1 and one quarter. December at $4.48 and a quarter, down 2 cents. January beans at $12.87, finished 25 and a half lower. The March down 22 and a half at 12.70, and May beans at 12.57 and a quarter, 19 and three quarters lower. July at 12.46 and a quarter, down 18 and a quarter. November of next year at $11.29, down 6 cents. Next year, of course, being next year's crop. Bean meal finished at 4.23.80, down 13.90. Bean oil at 38.51, 31 cents lower. Live cattle futures from the CME Group in the February at 135.62 and a half, up a dollar. April 50 cents higher at $135.80. January feeders at 167, up 30. March $167, down 40. February lean hogs at $87.75, $1.65 higher on the day. Outside markets show crude oil at $95.55 and wholesale price of gasoline at $2.69 and 6 cents. That's down 8 and 9 tenths. This is Illinois Public Media. Ethanol futures at $1.98 are up 6 and 9 tenths, and the spread between the ethanol and the wholesale price is at 86 and 2 tenths of a cent. That's 12 and 9 tenths of a cent narrower than it was the day before. Natural gas trading $4.32 and a tenth, a 9 and a tenth of a cent higher. And diesel fuel at $2.98 and 8 tenths, down 7 and 6 tenths for the afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Have you signed up yet for our evening with the Voices of Illinois Agriculture? Don't tarry, because this will happen pretty quickly. There are only about 100 slots, and if you have not signed up, this is our fundraiser for scholarships to the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. It's set for Friday evening, January the 24th, at the Spice Box on the second floor of Bevere Hall. That's on the south end of the Urbana-Champaign campus in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. We'll kick off the evening with a keynote address by none other than the president of the University of Illinois. I can't tell you how happy I am that Bob Easter will be able to address us that evening. And then we'll move into our dinner and eventually get to a really good marketing panel, including Steve Fried from ADM Investor Services, Pete Manhart, Wayne Nelson, and Jackie Vanks. Daryl Good will be there to wrap up things, and Gary Schnittke will talk about crop insurance. Oh, and the president of ADM Investor Services, Tom Cadleck, says he'd like to say a few words too. It'll be brief. It should be a fantastic evening if you didn't make it to the first one. How about the second annual Voices of Illinois Agriculture event that kicks off at 6 p.m. January the 24th? You can find all the details on our website at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Well, let's check in now on the futures markets. On the phone line with us in the stead of Dan Zwicker at CGP Enterprises, who's away today, is Matt Bennett from TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Are you braced for the cold weather this evening?
I guess I better be. I better just stay indoors.
Maybe staying indoors would be a good thing, but I suppose you have livestock. What do you have to do to get yourself and your livestock prepped for cold weather like this?
Well, the main thing is just, you know, as long as they've got somewhere to get out of the weather, of course, and then good water that's not froze, you know, water tank heaters. A lot of guys have automatic waters, so make sure they're all functioning properly, and then, of course, plenty of feed.
Well, plenty of feed, but that means you've got to have it on hand and there. Does that mean there's a push to get feed, corn in particular, at this time when we have cold weather in, or does it make much difference?
Yeah, I think most guys are fairly well prepared for it. You know, and here in the last couple of years, I think we've seen a lot more silage fed in our neighborhood than what we've seen previously, and we've actually started feeding more silage the last couple of years. So, you know, whenever you have a full silage wagon, it can go for quite a while.
Tell me about business at the elevator today. Were you busy on this first trading day of the year?
Yes, we definitely were handing out a lot of checks today. you know, guys were, I had a couple of people ask me, well, they collected mostly bean checks. And, you know, it's interesting because I would say most of them were bean checks, but also a lot of guys were still collecting corn checks from harvest when they didn't need the money. So, you know, a lot of these guys were in a pretty decent position to where they could hold off until this next fiscal year.
Right. If they were collecting checks, does that mean there was something happening in the marketplace on the beans, too? Are the two related or not?
No, it's just first day of the year. Guys have been waiting to get this money for quite some time. I think the interesting thing is that if you look at corn sales versus bean sales this year, more than probably any year I've ever seen, there was a whole lot more people collecting for beans that they had sold. So that would probably be my main point of emphasis.
And despite that fact, and despite the beans are already in the marketing channel in that case, we lost 25.5 cents in the January contract today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The beans are kind of struggling right now. It's tough to paint a bullish picture whenever you've got good weather in South America. And, of course, we're looking at a just a big crop, an awfully big crop in South America. Let's not fool ourselves. And so, you know, we talked a little bit in the morning as well. You know, the soybean meal's under a little bit of pressure with DDGs getting rejected again in China. It definitely plays into the marketplace whenever you look at what the cost of our feeds are. And so, you know, you throw all those things together, it's been a tough road to hoe today for the bean market.
Yeah, speaking of the South American crop, I talked with Dr. Michael Cordonier today. Booked him for Commodity Week, our first Commodity Week that will run live, airs tomorrow, immediately following the closing market report on our home radio station. So it should be up on the website at willag.org by about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And Dr. Cordonier will be our guest. That at 2:36 in the afternoon on AM 580, the home station. Everybody else will run it as usual, and we'll have it up on our website at willag.org. He should have some interesting things, I suppose, to talk about with us then. And he told me he'd be gone most of the month of January and February, so I'm kind of lucky we got him put into the mix already, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He definitely is a wealth of information.
Absolutely. Okay, so turn your attention to the corn market, where we were lower today, but by comparison, it wasn't bad at all, just a penny and a half down.
No, not bad at all. I mean, we traded up four higher. I saw, you know, a couple guys were saying there was a fair amount of buy stops in that 430 to 435 area on the March corn. And so I think there's some people maybe interested in owning corn if they can see a bit of a bullish picture. I think, you know, the main thing right now is that there's a lot of fund index fund rebalancing. They're talking about 80 to 100,000 contracts that need to be bought for that to happen. And so, you know, while the bean market's getting hit like this, see the corn market only settle off a penny and a quarter, penny and a half. That's a pretty impressive day.
Yeah, so there are friendly things, I suppose, people are starting to think about. You and I talked this morning about the potential for the export market, maybe feed and residual being not so bad, and ethanol usage bumping higher in the coming months as well.
Yeah, definitely. When you look at the ethanol numbers, I think 6 out of the last 7 weeks we've actually used more corn than what we need to use to meet the, you know, the government quota, if you will. And so, you know, looking at that, along with the fact that exports have been awfully impressive recently, it it just goes to show you that I think that our cheaper prices have been somewhat of a cure for cheaper prices. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to go on farther lower, but I think there are a few good things going on in the corn market as far as demand goes.
Does that mean the producers looking out at the December contract for 2014 should ignore it at this point, or do they need to think about pricing?
That's just a really tough question, Todd, and I think the main thing that my producers, the first thing we talk about is what their current situation is. Because, you know, we've had a lot of guys that have marketed a fair amount of corn for 14 previous to our discussion right now. And so if they're in that situation, then extending sales isn't such a bad idea. If they haven't sold anything at all yet, the main thing that I really want to encourage guys to do is, you know, see what your break-even prices are. Because a lot of guys are in situations that, you know, it doesn't really look that good as far as their break-even prices go. And so, you know, whenever you look at this insurance situation, we're going to be $1.15, $1.20 lower at least than what we were last year, and so your guarantees are going to be much lower. So I don't know. Right now, I think that it all depends upon your current situation.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember, you can always hear Matt again if you'd like on our website. The address, willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Well, you remember about 18 months ago in the summer of 2012, I took off with a group of farmers on a bus, and we made our way to New Orleans and visited Dan Zwicker, the export facility that belongs to CGB and Zinno there. We're going to do it again, not to Zinno this time around, and a bit shorter, March 10th, 11th, and 12th. We're going to go see John Deere in Moline, the combine plant. We'll watch those being made. And then the next day in Waterloo at the tractor plant. We're going to put both of them back to back and make a trip there to Moline, Illinois, to watch John Deere make combines and tractors. It should be a really good plant tour. I hope you can go along with us. It's scheduled for March 10, 11, and 12. All the details, again, on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. I hope you can join us for our second Follow the Corn trip. This one is Follow the Corn. John Deere will be in Moline and Waterloo on the 10th, 11th, and 12th of March. Find all the details again at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
We often talk about our website at willag.org, but if you can't hear us on one of our radio stations or pick us up on the website, you can always do this. Just dial in at 217-333-3434. Each and every business day at about 10:15 and 3:15, we post a bit of analysis and either the opening numbers, that's the open outcry, or the closing numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. It's at 217-333-3434.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Traders in Chicago are looking for reasons to move the corn market, especially for the coming crop. There's little that can be discerned at this point, but as you'll hear, that has not stopped them from predicting how many acres of corn will be planted next spring. Prognosticators from around the globe are throwing their numbers into the ring, and some say farmers in the United States will sow a record number of corn acres this spring. Others are backing way off. A University of Illinois ag economist, Darrell Good, takes a more pragmatic approach.
You know, we start with the idea that there was a lot of unplanted acres in 2013, so that under normal conditions, total crop acreage should go up next year. And then the question for many of us in here in Illinois is, how will that be divided between corn and soybeans? And beginning to hear a few more reports of farmers thinking they will plant fewer corn, more soybean acres next year. It's really hard to gauge the magnitude of that based on just anecdotal reports, but certainly new crop soybean prices are becoming more competitive, and we would think would attract a few more soybean acres.
Still, it's pretty early to tell, and frankly, even the end of March USDA report on the subject is just a best guess. It's easier to consider the pricing structure of the marketplace. Old crop corn has been in a sideways pattern for a couple months. This is persistent, says Darrell Good, and he wouldn't be surprised for that to happen for the first couple of months of 2014.
You start looking for something that could surprise the market, and you really wonder if there's anything before spring that could surprise the market and bring about higher prices. So I look for a very flat price pattern on old crop corn. And you would have to think maybe very similar on new crop as well until we get more information about acreage. But I think eventually maybe there is some potential for some weakness in new crop corn if it turns out we're on track for another big crop next year.
Soybeans may be headed lower too, believes the Illinois Number Cruncher. Particularly the price of old crop soybeans might head down.
We figure out that we've got this tight supply rationed. South American crop comes on. I think there's room for old crop beans to go down from here. New crop beans are already lower priced, so maybe at least in a short run, not much downside risk. But if we get more acres and a good yield, we'll see lower prices by harvest time.
You may read more from Darrell Good on the commodity markets each Monday afternoon in his weekly outlook. Just visit the Farm Doc Daily website. Speaking of websites, please do visit ours at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you haven't signed up yet for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event, that's January the 24th at the Spice Box. Should be a great evening. The president of the University of Illinois, Bob Easter, will keynote our event for scholarships at the U of I and the College of ACES. That's the agricultural college here. It's an evening that you can spend with Bob Easter, myself. Old Jackie Vakes will be there, along with Wayne Nelson and Paul Cooley, Pete Manhart. And we'll also have with us that evening from ADM Investor Services in Chicago, Illinois, Steve Freed, and the president of ADM Investor Services, too. If you'd like to sign up, do that at willag.org. Just look for Voices of Illinois Agriculture. That's not your cup of tea, don't worry. You can sign up to go with us to John Deere and watch them make combines and tractors in Moline and Waterloo. It's a three-day event, March 10, 11, and 12. That's the Follow the Corn Bus trip to John Deere. It's also at willag.org. Now up next, Lisa Brultz rings in the new year with a look back at In My Backyard from 2013.
We've celebrated the celebrations. 2013 is in the rearview mirror. Early January is as good a time as any to reflect on 2013, In My Backyard's third full year. It was a year of substantial and quick growth in local food, from backyard practice to brick-and-mortar business. In February, I began the exploration of the connection between food and romance, interviewing one couple who had met at the farmer's market at Urbana's Market at the Square. I'm not sure of the status of the couple currently. I know they were making plans to farm in Wisconsin. I was also interested in the concept of dinner. Hint, while good food and food traditions are obvious winners, it's also all about what's right for your family, however you define it. In March, I continued the series on food and romance, talking to another young couple who had met at the farmer's market and who were, just a few years later, married, parents, and putting everything they had into their baking business. While it was evident Dushan and Carissa were quite passionate about each other, it was also clear they felt very strongly about the food they make. It goes far beyond filling bellies and turning a profit. Last I heard, they'd moved the business to northern Illinois to incorporate more of Dushan's family. In April, I wrote about my trip to Anna Maria Island, Florida, and the local food culture they're building there via a concept I call FEED, Food Enterprise as Economic Development. I can't wait to go back in March to patronize the Anna Maria Donut Shop and Papo's Taqueria more times than I should, plus anything new that's come along. I also finished up the series on food and romance in April with an interview with one of Central Illinois' cutest farming couples, Wes Jarrell and Leslie Cooper Band of Prairie Fruits Farm. In May, I did my first phone interview ever. I talked with Severin von Scharner Fleming from the organization Greenhorns about the old school with a new twist, no fluff, farmer's almanac they published this year. I also chatted with two young men hoping to put the FEED concept into practice, Josh Lucas of Flying Machine Coffee and Josh Boyd of the Urbana Butcher Shop. I'm happy to report both businesses are up, running, and are changing the face and the pace of downtown Urbana. In June, I interviewed local bartender Michael Miller about a book I asked him to read, Amy Stewart's The Drunken Botanist, and he demonstrated the making of cocktails using some locally sourced ingredients. We made a video, too. More on that in a second. July, archive time. In August, I went to a Sandwich Life house concert in Champaign and took pictures and wrote about some of the most amazing hot dogs I've ever seen. I also interviewed a local mother, scientist, and urban farmer about the book Homeward Bound by Emily Matcher and women's current roles, perceived and actual, in home economics. I also posted the video of June's The Drunken Botanist review on YouTube and on our website, and the reception was quite positive. So positive, in fact, that more videos will be coming in 2014 with some equipment assistance from PBS Digital Studios. September took me indoors, where I talked with plant whisperer Mathis Helmick and his plans to change the way people think about interior spaces and environments. In October, I went to Urbana's Market at the Square to check out Sprouts at the Market, their nutrition and farm linkage program for children. 5 years in, Sprouts remains quite popular with the younger set and their parents. I also confessed my failed garlic crop to the world and went to my neighbor, Zach Grant, also manager of the Sustainable Student Farm at the University of Illinois, for advice. In November, I extolled the virtues of tiny kitchens and then traveled to Monticello, Illinois, to put myself in the middle of hundreds of heirloom turkeys before they went off to meet their fate as Thanksgiving dinner. Turkeys are huge, by the way. And last month, I talked with three generations of lovely women about why the homemade peppermint patty has had such staying power in their family, especially around the holidays. 2013 was crazy busy, and I anticipate more of the same for 2014. If you'd like to hear any of the episodes from this year or other years, stream them anytime at will.illinois.edu/inmybackyard. In the meantime, I'm hibernating until early February. For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Brawls.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
Well, in a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the weather forecast as it comes from Mike Tenura at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. But this note from the National Weather Service, they have issued a hazardous weather outlook for portions of central Illinois and east central Illinois. Snow showers will continue at times into early afternoon today, although they may linger much of the afternoon around Champaign and Danville. Additional accumulation is expected to be minor, but may be higher north of I-74 due to heavier snow showers moving down from Lake Michigan. As Arctic air continues to move into central Illinois, northwest winds will combine with the bitter cold to produce wind chills as low as 10 to 15 degrees below zero at times overnight into Friday morning. On day two, another storm system will move into Illinois Saturday night and Sunday, the potential for producing some more snowfall. And behind that system, the coldest air of the season will push into central Illinois, with a prolonged period of sub-zero wind chills likely. Tuesday morning expected to be the coldest period, with wind chills as low as 30 degrees below zero possible. We'll have more on the weather forecast from Mike Tenura when we return here on Illinois Public Media and the closing market report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
It's National Cream Puff Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1923, Secretary of the U.S. Department of Interior Albert Fall resigned due to public outrage over the Teapot Dome scandal. Fall was found guilty of conspiracy and bribery. He took $385,000 from a friend in exchange for permission to lease part of the Naval Reserves at Teapot Dome, Wyoming. Fall also went to jail for 1 year the first former cabinet officer sentenced to prison as a result of public misconduct in public office. In 1941, Donald Kleck was born. An American research physicist, he was a co-inventor of fused silica optical waveguide, better known as optical fiber. This was a breakthrough, creating a revolution in telecommunications. The fiber was capable of carrying 65,000 times more information than conventional copper wire. In 1990, Campbell's Soup introduced cream of broccoli soup. It became, at the time, their most successful new soup in 55 years. By the way, it was Campbell's that first realized that if one could remove soup's heaviest ingredient, water, that the price of soup could be slashed by two-thirds because of savings realized to ship the soup around the country. And in 2005, H. David Dahlquist, the creator of the aluminum bundt pan, died in Minnesota at the age of 86. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago is on the phone line to take a look at the forecast. Mike, it looks like it's going to be cold, really cold. Can you tell me about it, please?
I sure can. We do have one of the colder air masses in recent memory that is developing at the moment. The minimum temperature today, and this does not include the wind, was minus 42 degrees at International Falls. Now, that is just a taste of what's coming later on in the weekend and especially early next week. We're looking at what appears to be the coldest air since February of 1996 across a large area of the Northern Plains and the Northern Corn Belt. We should see temperatures anywhere from minus 15 to minus 35 degrees from the Dakotas on through Iowa, Minnesota, parts of Illinois, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And we expect temperatures to even reach the minus 40s across parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota. Once we factor in the wind, it looks like minus 50s to even minus 60 will occur for a 12 to 24-hour period in some cattle and hog areas of the Dakotas and Minnesota. So we're looking at the potential for some serious stress on livestock. And the winter kill threat also exists in parts of Nebraska and Kansas, where temperatures fall into the minus zeros and minus tens, and snowpack will be lacking.
Yeah, so how much snowfall do they have on the ground in those areas? Because we got just a couple inches maybe overnight last night here.
Well, they did see some snow over the weekend, so it looks like a general 1 to 4 inches is blanketing the plains right now, at least parts of Nebraska and Kansas. But the problem that we have is that the lighter snowpack of 1 inch and less is centered in the wheat areas. And the other problem, which is really the larger concern, is that we have a brief puff of warmth that develops across that region from tonight through tomorrow that will send temperatures into the positive 40s, and that will melt away that little bit of snowpack that exists. So it's a tricky situation, but we think that that threat does exist. Now, keep in mind, the winter kill issue at this time of the year is always debatable, just simply because wheat is acclimated to coldness. And not only that, it takes months to actually figure out how much damage there was. So even though it is a concern, we won't actually know what happened for several months.
How long do the cold temperatures stay around?
Well, that is the good part about this cold snap. They don't last too long. We're looking at maybe a 1 to 3 day cold snap, at least an extreme cold snap. And after that, it does turn sharply warmer. We'll see temperatures get well above zero later next week. Now, the only thing we're a little concerned with is that sometimes when these cold snaps happen, computer models have a lot of difficulty handling how they will end. Although they all show the cold snap ending fairly quickly within about a week from now, we know just from history that we'll have to watch this, and this might be something that comes up later on in the extended period toward the middle of January or later on in the month. So this is not going to be the only cold snap we see.
And a very quick word for me on South America.
Well, there were some decent rains overnight in Argentina, and it's turning quite wet in southern Brazil and Paraguay, where it had been a little bit dry. The only issue we have at the moment is that we're now looking at a lot of rain in Argentina over the next 7 to 10 days, and maybe a little longer. So So we still are a little bit concerned that corn and soybeans might be experiencing some stress there, even though the big heat wave and the dry spell has at least temporarily ended.
Mike, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.